This is another real-life story of everyday life and mission from Anchor Church Sydney. We hope you're inspired by it. For more stories, teaching and info, visit anchorchurch.com.au.
Thank you, bro. And on Connect this morning, how about that, serving on the Connect team? Bro, you've been nominated. We're super thankful that you've put yourself forward for a really key position of leadership in our church. But to help these guys get to know you a little bit better, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and maybe start with your own journey of coming to faith? How did you come to belief in Christ?
Yeah, I remember the last couple of weeks I had been interviewed, and some of you have heard my story, and maybe this is the second time, and there are others who may not know me, haven't heard my story. I grew up going to church with mum and dad. A lot of South Pacific Islanders are deeply religious, and that was certainly my background. Mum and dad are Christians. God has dad has gone to glory. Mum's still, you know, committed. But I grew up in that sort of environment where I'd gone to church every Sunday, gone for a youth group, and it wasn't until later on in my later teens where, as I explained a couple of weeks ago, I was invited by the local Anglican minister to go along with him to a correctional centre, Silver Water Jail. And it was there where I had met a inmate who'd become a Christian. He didn't grow up as a Christian. He sadly, unfortunately, committed horrific crimes. And in God's grace, in his time, he was, you know, he came across the gospel, read the Bible, and was convinced that Jesus was God's son, sent by God to save him from his sins. So just sitting there listening to his story was incredible. I'd walked away from that encounter with that particular gentleman thinking, wow, you know, like, I've been a fraud all my life. Lots of lip service, hadn't lived out the Christian life personally, and suddenly I was confronted by, you know, this guy's testimony. And that's where slowly over a long period of time I started to explore the Bible, what it meant for me. It's something that I can't inherit. And eventually became a Christian over that process.
Amazing. Praise God. Tell us a little bit about your family, who you're married to, your kids.
Married to Louisa. We've been married for 19 years now.
Wow.
She's from the islands, from Tonga. We have six kids, the biggest family in Anchor, obviously.
That's it, yeah.
Six kids, three boys, three girls. Our eldest is now an adult, has finished school. We have three in high school and two in primary school. The youngest is 10. I think I got that right.
10 to 19. Yeah, that must be hard to keep track of all their ages and birthdays.
Certainly is.
I have reminders in my phone. And how did you meet Louisa? How did you guys start dating? And obviously you got married. Well, tell us a little bit about that story.
This is a curveball you're throwing at me.
Yes, I'm sorry.
we met through church.
Yeah.
Her father was the minister of the church, but he used to take care of a number of churches. He'd come around to Mum and Dad's church, and I was present. That's where I met Louisa as a teenager. And, not long after that, actually a year after I left school, we started going out. And within less than 12 months, we got married. And, Louis often says to our kids, don't do that.
Married at 19.
Yeah. But, thankful to God for Louisa, thankful for marriage.
It's beautiful seeing your family, and we love having you guys a part of Anchor. Now, you've been in ministry, vocational ministry, for quite some time. You've spent 12 years working in the church, and you're currently working as a prison chaplain. Tell us a little bit about your journey towards vocational ministry and some of the experiences that you've had in the last 12 years working as a pastor of a church.
Yeah, so I've worked mainly in the Sydney Anglican scene in three different churches close by. When I went to Moore College, I knew that God had called me to ministry. I didn't know what that was going to look like. The first church that I worked in was a local inner west church over at St. Peter's, small church, But, you know, the Bible was taught well. There was warm fellowship. That's where I started at, in an assistant minister role. That's where I spent my formative years. So that was like, you know, foundational to my training as well as my development as a Christian. Like Anchor and I suppose a lot of churches in the city, it was a very transient place. So people were always coming and going. We'd often say that we evangelize, you know, say 50% of the congregation only to see them go, you know, like 2 years down the track. That was just the nature of ministry. And that's what I was involved in at St. Peter's. At Canterbury, suburban church, another small church. I was looking after the evening congregation, and that was interesting. A lot of the folks that came there were second-generation Australian-born whatever. I understood that. I could identify with that, and, you know, that was going on for a couple of years, so in another assistant minister position. And then we finished up in Arncliffe, and I always say Arncliffe is like the Beirut of Australia. It's a wonderful place, wonderful place. We actually lived there for 14 years. A lot of people from the Mediterranean part of the world, Middle Eastern part of the world. And so that was reflected in the church. So lots of kebabs, tabbouleh, Lebanese bread. It was good.
It's great.
It wasn't a culture shock. It was very enriching for me.
Yeah, great. Now, you're currently still in a form of vocational ministry. You're a prison chaplain at Long Bay Correctional Facility. Tell us about that. What does your role entail? What kind of things are you doing as a prison chaplain there? And what excites you about that type of work?
Yeah, so I started as one of the chaplains on the chaplaincy team at Long Bay Jail. And my main area on the complex is looking after remand and the psych ward. Remand, you've got about 400 blokes. These are guys that, you know, sadly they get arrested, they get thrown into, you know, the complex. A lot of them are anxious, uncertain, angry, frustrated. I minister in that context, and there's of course the psych ward. I love the job. I was there last Sunday. 10% of the population go to church at Long Bay every Sunday. Which is unbelievable. There's a number of other experienced, more senior prison chaplains, and I shadow them, I help them, we work as a team. The thing that I love about my job is that I get to see the gospel at work in people's lives, and it is incredible. The kinds of conversations that you have with people and seeing people's lives changed, it's a miracle.
Yeah.
In a place like Long Bay, I often think, wow, you know, people normally think, and I was told that Long Bay was once a term, a code name, particularly during the Second World War for evil. Wow. But at Long Bay, you know, like there are lives being changed and impacted every day, every week by the gospel.
So good. Now, you've put your hand up for eldership, which we're excited about. What are you looking forward to about that role in our church? What excites you about that?
I think what excites me about eldership is just service, man. Like, you know, love people, you know, love to serve in whatever capacity. I have hit the age of 40 a couple of months ago, so I'm at middle age. And not that age is a reflection of wisdom. But, you know, I think, you know, at this stage of life, I'd love to be involved in coming alongside people, mentoring people, training people, most importantly, modeling godliness. Yeah,
it's great. How can we be praying for you and your family in this season of life?
Just pray. Our kids are all at different ages and stages of life. Sometimes I think to myself, I've got the hardest job in the world, being the pastor of my family. You know, I find personally that, you know, my godliness as a husband and a father is most important on the home front, and that's what I want to be continually growing in daily as I walk with Jesus and lead my family to also follow Jesus. So pray along those lines, please.
Great, good. Well, thank you. We really value you and Louisa, your family. We've seen what, you know, godly parenting and leadership in the home looks like, and we really feel like you're a wonderful candidate for eldership. And so we want to put both Brad and Seti before you guys and ask for your feedback, your commendation, or any concerns that you have towards these brothers stepping into a really significant leadership role for us. And so I'm going to pray for Seti, for Brad, for our church, and we're going to get stuck into Titus chapter 2. So let me pray for us. Father, I thank you for Seti. I thank you for the work that you've done in his life in drawing him to yourself. I thank you that you've placed a really clear call on his life to serve you with his vocation in full-time ministry. Thank you for the ways that you've used him in the past and the ways that you are continuing to use him now in Long Bay and the opportunities that he has to share the good news and to see lives transformed in that place. We pray for more fruit. We pray that you would bless his ministry there. We pray that you would bless his ministry in his home as he seeks to love Louisa, serve his family, model what it looks like to follow Jesus to his kids. We ask, God, that you'd help him to pursue Christ-like character, to demonstrate to his children what it looks like to follow Jesus. And we pray, as we did last week, that all of his kids would grow up to love and serve Jesus and to walk humbly before you. God, we want to pray for our church as we seek to appoint new elders. This is such a big thing for us, God, and so we pray that you'd help us to do this as we are led by your Spirit, to do this so that your church would continue to thrive and grow and be healthy. We ask for your guidance and your strength, and we pray it in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. All right, thank you, guys. Let's thank Seti. You can take one. Thank you.